Did you ever get the feeling no matter what you do, you just won't win with a certain person in your life? Okay, well, multiply that feeling by a few 10,000 or so, and you'll get a clue of what President Trump is dealing with when it comes to his critics. When this happens really at any level, there are two choices. You either change your ways or ideas to appease your critics, or you stay true to your beliefs and maybe even wind up winning some converts. Our next guest today joins us to explain how President Trump is walking in shoes experienced in this situation, and what the path those shoes have taken can teach him, along with you, come to think of it, along with being the executive director of the Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation Institute. He is an author whose first very successful novel, The Shroud Conspiracy, was met with positive reviews and great sales. John Hybush, thanks for being here today, sir.
Great to be with you, Chris.
And website for the Reagan Presidential Foundation Institute is ReaganFoundation.org. And, well, as I alluded to in the introduction, we can indeed learn from history, and this is something President Trump can learn from the path that Ronald Reagan walked. Give us a few details of what foundation of Reagan's era can Trump incorporate, embrace, and utilize today?
Well, I think first he can just remind himself of history. President Reagan's first year or two in office weren't a walk in the park. The American economy was in a shambles, and the president had to fight his way without a majority in Congress to some very important legislation. And when the economy didn't improve in the first few months, his approval ratings dropped, and he had a real tough sledding in front of him. But he stuck with his guns and stayed with his principles and his philosophy. And as the economy improved, so did his approval ratings. And as you well know, in 1984, he was elected with a remarkable landslide. So I think the lessons for President Trump are that if he believes in what he says, then he just ought to stick to his positions and plow his way through, really.
Mr. Hybush recently wrote about this in the Daily Caller, which we've linked to that article at our website. What you just described, the facts about how Reagan overcame the critics, and you know this very well, too, it's all been dismissed by just the left saying and the media saying, well, if Reagan wasn't shot, he would never have been the president he wound up being.
It's interesting. When President Reagan was, the attempted assassination occurred, it was March 30th of his first year in office, so he'd been in office just 71 days, and no doubt a couple of weeks that he was in the hospital, and when he came out and gave his famous speech before Congress, his approval rating skyrocketed, but that was real temporary. America got back to business, so did the president, and there was a lot to accomplish in a country that was suffering very badly. So assassination attempt, certainly while it reminded Americans of, what a great president they had, that it didn't last all that long.
The challenge, I guess, today now for President Trump is, and as you said, too, Reagan put the focus, communication with American people and focusing on issues. The problem being for President Trump is with the Democratic goal and the news media goal, well, let's deflect attention from the business with Russia, or what Russia may, capitalize, bold, underline, may have done. How does Trump overcome this?
Well, I think even as some of President Trump's own strong supporters and longtime Republicans in the party have even said, and sometimes it just seems like our president can find ways to be his own worst enemy. And I often think it comes in the form of tweets that don't really match what his vision and broader strategy for the country are. I think oftentimes they serve to be distractions, rather than, parts of a coherent and syncopated communications policy. So I think in some respects, a lot of these are self-inflicted wounds, and they can be put under control if they just want to pay some attention to it.
John Hybush, who is the executive director of the Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation, also author of the book The Shroud Conspiracy. We'll get to that in a moment as well, because it is a very interesting book, in a way a historical novel, in a manner of speaking, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. With the president and his connection with the people, some people believe that the drumbeat, as I said, the Russia, with that 46-48%, who are solid with Trump, that's not going to deflect him in any way, shape, or form. If Trump starts to put out the idea or put the signals out that he's not going to get done what he promised to get done, is that going to be the big minefield he has to avoid?
Well, I think Donald Trump, while he's in some rough waters right now, he's been a success most all of his life. I think he's not the type to run from a fight, and I also don't think he's the type to turn and run from his ideals. And so I don't think we're going to see him try to influence poll numbers or, by changing his fundamental philosophy and his strategy that got him elected. So I just think he's the kind of president who, for better or worse, is going to stick to his guns. And it seems to me he's proving that every day he's not, real interested in appeasing the media in order to improve his poll numbers. And we see that every day, too. So he's his own man. And I don't think we're going to see any change in that regard with respect to how he feels about where the country should go.
But as you're right about, too, he has to find a solid path to put points on the board, less taxes, tax reform, health care bill. Otherwise, the voters who are supporting him are going to say, okay, well, you promised all this, but we're not seeing anything yet.
Yeah, that's right. And no doubt, I think, especially in these areas that have been so highly publicized and that he made such a central part of his campaign, and, whether that was repealing Obamacare or tax reform and tax rate reduction and a stronger defense, all those things, they're eventually going to have to come to fruition. If they don't, I think there's trouble ahead.
I've been mentioning your novel, The Shroud Conspiracy, and it's one of those, we always like to embrace the what-ifs and what could-bes, and you've taken the history and the facts about the Shroud of Turin, and you've created a great story as far as the adventure and personal belief systems, too, with your lead character, Dr. John Bondurant. What was the inspiration for sitting down and coming up with a story such as what's featured in The Shroud Conspiracy?
Well, Chris, it's a young age, and when I saw a documentary on the Shroud of Turin, I've just been fascinated with its existence. And as many of your listeners would know, the Shroud of Turin, which bears the miraculous imprint of the face and body of a crucified Jesus Christ, it's the most venerated and holiest, but also most controversial of religious relics in the history of mankind. And so I always thought that its existence and the controversy surrounding whether it was real or fake would make for just a fantastic backdrop for a novel, and it seems it's turning out to be the case. It's as you said, the protagonist is Dr. Bondurant. He's an atheist. He believes in no God, and he sets out to prove indeed that the Shroud is a fake, and in the process he finds out something quite different, and he finds out a great deal about his own self and what faith may or may not mean to him.
And there's an element of the story, too, which I don't want to tip off here, but something I always thought about, well, why has someone never tried regarding something related to the Shroud? I mean, I'm walking gingerly through the storyline here.
Yeah.
And you touch on it, and it's that, wow, that's possible.
Yeah, again, as you say, Chris, without stepping all over the ending to the novel, science has advanced us to the point where we can learn many, many things about ancient objects, including the Shroud of Turin. And if one believes, as I do, that this imprint on the Shroud is the image of Jesus Christ, well, you can imagine there's human remains of one kind or another left on that piece of linen. And science has found ways to learn a whole lot about what might be connected to the DNA and to the sweat and the blood that you'd find on such a shroud. And so the book is a great deal in this book about how those findings might affect how mankind thinks about the life of Jesus Christ.
And again, a fascinating story and something that with the interest of faith and religion as far and in addition to dramatic, exciting, and a very very unique way of looking at potential of tying fiction into reality. It's one of those are the many things that John has done with the Shroud Conspiracy, and learn more about the work of the Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation Institute, of which he is the executive director, ReaganFoundation.org. Mr. Hybers, thanks so much for your insight into what can be confusing and combative world of politics for a very intelligence story with the Shroud Conspiracy, and thanks for being here today.
Thanks for having me, Chris. Very much like it.